Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Old Fashioned Golf. Our friends at Old Fashioned Golf are creating Wisconsin-inspired golf apparel right in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All of their gear is extremely comfortable, with one-of-a-kind designs that allow you to show your love for this great state, both on and off the course. And take it from me, Rob Hernandez and Gary D'Amato, when we wear our old-fashioned golf polos on the golf course or out to dinner, no one has to ask us where we're from or where we like playing our golf. It's all about Wisconsin at Old Fashioned Golf, so check them out at oldfashionedgolf.com. Well, Gary D'Amato, as we talk about old-fashioned golf, I got to say I was up visiting my daughter and at a wedding this weekend in Minnesota. And my daughter said that, you remember my son got a hold of my package that came from Old Fashioned Golf. He got the cap with the components to the Wisconsin license plate that are displayed in a landscape type, layout on the cap. Well, apparently he's been putting that on social media and somebody saw it and somebody asked my daughter, where did Devin get that hat? And so I told my daughter Rachel about Old Fashioned Golf and, you know, told her about the shirts that we have with the Wisconsin logos with the flags coming out of them and the Badger colors, the Packer colors. And she had never heard of it. And I was surprised. You know, she's in the golf business and she had never heard of Old Fashioned Golf. So now she's going to their website and checking things out. I have a feeling we might be ponying up for some stuff from Old Fashioned Golf on her Christmas list.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Rob, because I played in the 29th annual Illinois-Wisconsin Writers Cup, which we'll talk about a little bit. But at least two guys on the Wisconsin team had that exact were wearing that exact cap with the license plate on it, and I wore my old fashioned. The cardinal red shirt with the little white silhouettes of Wisconsin. So Old Fashioned Golf was well represented at the Illinois-Wisconsin Writers Cup.
And we'll talk about in a minute, a victorious Illinois-Wisconsin Writers Cup. But I think in the context, before we get to that, we also were up in Minnesota this weekend for a wedding. It was held at the Keller Golf Club in Maplewood, Minnesota. I didn't know until I was talking to the groom that Keller played host to the 1932 PGA Championship, and Olin Dutra knocked off Frank Walsh 4-3 in the final to collect the $1,000 top prize. And that was the year before the PGA Championship went to Blue Mound Golf Club in Wauwatosa, where Gene Sarazen knocked off Willie Goggin 5-4. I kind of think Blue Mound got the better end of the champion in that one. Gene Sarazen versus Olin Dutra. No disrespect to Olin Dutra or any of his descendants that may be listening to Talking.Golf.
Yeah, and that $1,000 first prize, I guess that would have been at the height of the Great Depression in the middle anyway. So $1,000 in 1932 went a long, long way. It doesn't sound like much today. Pays for a tank full of gas and a good dinner somewhere, basically. But back in 1932, one grand went a long way.
That is amazing. And it was a neat public golf course up there in Minnesota. And they had a scramble going on. I did, of course, even in suit and tie, I penciled over to the pro shop to see if they had any good deals going on. And the guy who was manning the shop was talking to somebody else. They were talking about maybe closing after Sunday of next week, but did say that Saturday and Sunday of next week in Minnesota don't look good for golf. And, you know, Gary, we at some point do have to face the inevitable. I'm looking at your forecast, through Halloween night. It kind of is in a downward spiral, 67 on Friday, 51 Saturday, 49 on Sunday, and then 44 Monday, and then Halloween night, 41 with the low temperature dipping down to 30. You know, you're getting close to, you know, frost delays and frost warnings and things like that. It's the days are numbered, but you got the round in it for the Writers Cup, and you're going back out today with our friend Mike Davis over at Blue Mound. I have a feeling your match today will be reminiscent of Gene Sarazen and Willie Goggin. I don't know which part you'll be playing, but I wish you the best to try to get the Gene Sarazen role.
Well, the golf won't be nearly as good, but we'll have a good time. It's, you know, such a great course. I've been very fortunate to play Blue Mound a few times every summer because our good friend Mike Davis works on the maintenance on the grounds crew there, Rob. And on Monday, he gets to play the course and gets to invite a guest. And thankfully, Mike likes me because he's invited me out to Blue Mound three or four times this year. And it's funny, I saw Jim Schumann there giving a lesson earlier this summer, and he saw me walk onto the range, and he said, "Are you a member here now? Because I play there so often." Perhaps we shouldn't let the good folks know at Blue Mound that I play there three or four times a year. But seriously, it's a great treat. It's a fantastic golf course.
Yeah, and for our listeners, Mike Davis, a value member of our team, he's the guy that makes sure our stories show up in the right place at the right time every time Gary and I file a story. Again, we're a small but a dedicated crew here at Wisconsin.golf, and between Mike doing that role and making sure that he knows what's going on each week with what stories that Gary and I have coming, and that he can slot them in appropriately and keep the site looking so fresh. And then Jim Kelsch with our photography. We posted today the All-State High School Girls Golf Team to the website, and the Golf Coaches Association of Wisconsin did a neat video to unveil the team last night. And all the photos in that video come courtesy of Wisconsin.golf. And when we say Wisconsin.golf, Jim Kelsch, because he's the one who not only takes the photos but gets them into our content management system and organizes them, labels them, and they're easy to find both in our system. But if you go on to Wisconsin.golf and go into the depth of the search archive, the search engine, and click on all, it'll include photos. And if you're looking for a specific photo, you can easily find it thanks to the way that Jim is able to label those. So I'm hoping that you have it looks like the weather early in the week here is very good for the upper Midwest. We left in rain this morning at Minneapolis flying into Phoenix, but it looked like it was going to be temperate, and at least the temperature be good.
Yeah, well, the sun is out at our Caledonia field office, Rob, today, and it's supposed to hit low 70s tomorrow, Tuesday. But then, as you mentioned, we take a precipitous drop, and I have a funny feeling that I might not see 70 again until, you know, late March or early April, unless I steal away to Florida set sometime this winter.
Well, it looked like you guys were fairly well bundled in your various attire at the Illinois-Wisconsin Riders Cup last Thursday. Give me the highlights. It's always great when Wisconsin goes across the border and wins one in the flatlands of Illinois. How did you pull out the W?
Yeah, it was a great team effort. I think everyone on our 10-man team earned at least 1 point, and we won 11-9. At Itasca Country Club. I had never played Itasca Country Club. It's Mike Monroe's home course, if you remember Mike.
Yes.
He's one of the stalwarts on the Illinois team. And it was a really good competition. It came down to the last two matches, which fortunately we won and went over the top. But that's always such a fun time to see all those guys from Illinois, guys who have covered golf for a long time. Dan Roan, Barry Cronin, who now...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, works for the, John Deere Classic as their media director, and Chuck Cherney, who's a great photographer down there in the Chicagoland area. And then our team, you know, we had a bunch of good guys who cover golf in our state. Greg Matzik, does a great job. Jason Coughlin, he was wearing one of the old fashioned caps, I believe, Rob.
And I saw Brian Weiss was there, and yeah, Jason and Brian just got back from a long, long trip, was it Ireland or overseas somewhere? Yeah.
He might have still been jet lagged, I think, because he just got back. And Dario Melendez was on our team. Mike Dell plays. We had a fun bunch, and it was a good competition, and we came out on top. So that was best of all.
Who were the two stalwarts at the end of the lineup that got the W's?
Well, I have to say, I played my partner and I, Mike Counter. You might know Mike. He was a long time. I think he was a long time sports information director at St. Norbert College, and he also worked in Green Bay. I think he was on Channel 2 in Green Bay for a long time.
Sure.
He was my partner in best ball and alternate shot. We lost both of those matches to Chuck Cherney and Barry Cronin. So we felt like we were letting the team down. But then thankfully, and I hope Barry doesn't listen to this, but I beat Barry 2-1 in our singles match at the end. I was the second last match to finish. And actually, my point was our clinch the cup for us. So
hello. That wasn't cool. In the sweet spot. I didn't read that in sweet spot, Gary. Come on, man.
Can't toot my horn too much, Rob, but I played poorly. I played poorly all day until the singles match, and then I played pretty good. So, but it was fun. It's such a good time, and we've done this 29 straight years now, alternating, you know, between Illinois and Wisconsin hosting. Next year, it'll be our turn.
Well, Dan Roan was a young whippersnapper at WGN when these things started. Now he's retired. I'm sure his golf game was in prime shape. And then if Mike Monroe, the only guy I know is a teaching professional and a golf journalist. I don't know how that he's able to balance those two lives to make him eligible for this competition, but you're right. He's been a stalwart and truly, truly one of the good guys on the Illinois side of the border. And, I'm glad you got that in. It kind of segues nicely into our first topic because one of the great stories that's been getting traffic, I threw it up there just because I saw the press release and thought, boy, this is pretty cool. I kind of was hoping that this new World Champions Cup that's coming in December with the international team, Team Europe and Team USA on the senior tour was going to include not only Steve Stricker but Jerry Kelly because Jerry's had such a good run. And indeed, Peter Jacobson, the chairman of this new venture that'll be held in Florida in early December, did make him one of the first, chairman's picks for the this team. And I wanted to get your take on Jerry Kelly. I think he only played one or two President's Cups, and but to me, he's the quintessential guy to have on a Team USA. I mean, the guy is so animated and so, you know, just loyal to his, you know, obviously loyal to his country, but loyal to the state of Wisconsin as long as we've known him. And to have him and Steve Stricker on this inaugural World Champions Cup team, he was named with Miguel Angel Jimenez and Stephen Alker as the first wave of chairman selections. I thought that was a great move. I was really glad to see that Jerry got the nod.
Oh yeah, Jerry is a bulldog. He loves match play because he's so competitive and so fiery. And you know, he did make that Ryder Cup team, Rob, the year that it was postponed because of 9/11. So, and then you know they had it postponed until the next year, and they went back to a different point system, I think, and then he didn't make the team, but he really did make one Ryder Cup team. I mean, it was too bad it wasn't played that year, but he's going to be tough in that format. And I see that they just made another announcement today, Rob, that Justin Leonard has been added to the U.S. team now. So we know five of the six players on the U.S. team. They're Furyk, Stricker, Toms, Kelly, and Justin Leonard. That's going to be a pretty good team, whoever they add for a sixth. And I'm really anxious to see what kind of traction this event gets. Will it be well attended? Will it be, will it capture the golfing fans' fancy or imagination? Will there be people interested in this? I don't know, but it's the first year for it, and it's a Ryder Cup style competition, and I'd love to get down to Florida and catch that the inaugural World Championship here.
It's December 7th through 10th at the Concession Golf Club in Bradenton, Florida. I think one of the questions I have is, will Jim Furyk be healthy enough to play? He WD'd. He's had a tough year on the PGA Tour Champions. WD'd from the first playoff event, and he is not eligible, I don't believe, for the second. I believe he's 72 on the Charles Schwab Cup point standings. And so, you know, that they may need to find a non-playing captain or a non-playing person or a person to play for the captain. But I haven't seen, and I was trying to dig in here to see, I believe this is a series of nine-hole matches. I can't find it here on the website, but I believe it's kind of a unique format.
It is, yeah. Well, first of all, there's three teams instead of, you know, just two, so that'll be interesting. And I think you're right. I think it is a round robin of nine-hole matches. You know, these guys, these guys aren't used to playing a ton of golf on the Champions Tour, and I don't think 18-hole matches probably would suit them, especially if they're going to play a number of matches. So, yeah, I think they are nine-hole matches. I think it's going to air. I know it's going to air on ABC and ESPN. So if nothing else, we'll have to tune in December 7th, 10th and watch through the 10th and watch this competition from down in Florida.
Yeah, there are more details to be confirmed at a later date in the initial news release. And they're still adding the players. I think it's one of those things where you kind of need to, especially when you're dealing with three teams, as you said, and senior golfers. I mean, this is, something where, it's, I think, partly entertainment, but also, these are guys who, have sort of over the time that the Champions Tour has evolved, we've seen the Bernhard Langer dominance. We've seen the Hale Irwin dominance. We've seen now international players, who, really, I think were, somewhat late to be included in the PGA Tour, priority ranking system, get traction. And, you've seen, going back to, Vijay Singh in the late 80s winning the PGA, at Steve Stricker's expense up in Seattle. I mean, there's been a lot, for it seems like the first half century, it was all European golfers against, American golfers, which is why the Ryder Cup became so, important. But then, golf became a global game, and, guys like Ernie Els that you're seeing in this thing, Mike Weir north of the border. There's just so many. Golf has now gone to so many different parts of the globe that I like the idea of trying to include three. I mean, we've talked about, should the Solheim Cup and the Ryder Cup be held concurrently? And have we, should there be a, I don't think anyone ever wants to change the dynamic of the Ryder Cup, but, how can other competitions like this become better? And I think, from the get-go, they've hit on a good format here by having all three, kind of parts of the globe covered.
And all three teams really have guys who are on the top of their games in their 50s. I mean, Stephen Alker's had a wonderful couple of years playing for the international team. Stephen Ames, same thing. Retief Goosen is going to be tough. And then you look at Team Europe with Bernhard Langer, Miguel Angel Jimenez, and Robert Carlson. All three of those guys have played very well for the last two or three years. And then, of course, Stricker, Toms Kelly, and Justin Leonard. Leonard being somewhat new to the Champions Tour, but he's gotten off to a really good start. It should be a good competition.
And I did find here in the story that I posted, it was in the last release, the event will consist of 9-hole matches featuring team formats and singles play, with points being earned for each hole won in each of the event's 24 matches. So that could be a really high point total. The team with the highest point total across all the matches will be crowned the champion. I like that idea. It'll be interesting to see how the public and the regular golf fan gravitates towards that, because, that would be, potential for there to be, some sort of, crossover event, with the, a mixed team competition like that. We're going to see this initial, the Grant Thornton Invitational with, the PGA Tour, LPGA Tour getting together. But, my goodness, especially this time of year, and especially with all the things that we're seeing, from LIV Golf and now the Tiger Rory League that's going to debut after the first of the year, I believe, with the indoor golf. There's all sorts of ways you can, parcel up, competitive professional golf and provide it to the consumer for their viewing pleasure. And this seems like a pretty good format.
It does. And I see also in a news release here, the event will feature a unique pro-am on Saturday, December 9th. They haven't asked you to play in that pro-am, have they, Rob?
No, they haven't. They haven't. I think they must have gotten wind. Well, I didn't get the invite for the Illinois-Wisconsin thing either. So I think I'm off the map. I'm the Jack Lemmon of media golf. But after your closeout, Gary, maybe that'll be your ticket to Florida. Maybe you can see if Steve and Jerry can get you in that pro-am.
Well, if we'd have known and realized that you were coming home for a wedding, Rob, or at least going to Minnesota for a wedding, that's close enough. Taylor and I, we could have probably snuck you on the team. Sorry about that.
No, you can't tamper with success. I mean, we're not changing this team that you got assembled right now. This is good, but at the end of the year, the PGA Tour Champions has kind of the longest scope of the calendar, because there's no pressure for the Champions Tour to get done before the start of college football. They just kind of keep going through the fall. And then they have the Schwab Cup finals here coming up in the first part of November. So their off season is a little bit shorter. This kind of interrupts that a little bit, but at the same time, it's in Florida. And it's the one event they have between the end of the Schwab Cup in Arizona, an event in Florida, and then they start the season in Hawaii. Those are three states, Gary, that you and I would gladly play in anytime once the weather goes below 30 in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And I, you know, those dates, December, Friday, December 8th, or December 7th, 8th and 9th. No, 8th, 9th and 10th, I guess it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're going to be going against college football on Saturday and the NFL in the playoff push on Sunday. So, I'm very interested to see what the time slots are that these events are going to be scheduled and, what the ratings will be. Hopefully they'll get some eyeballs on this competition.
So that's, you know, something to look forward to. And obviously as we go through the Schwab Cup finals here, that'll be, kind of at the, you know, at the end of, the road here for 2023 on the PGA Tour Champions. As it is, you know, we can talk to Gary about, PGA Tour Champions. The first playoff event yesterday, wrapped up in Virginia, the Dominion Energy Charity Classic. Harrison Frazier beats, Richard Green in a playoff. And, again, this is where the senior tour has been kind of weird this year. I mean, if Steve Stricker isn't winning an event, you're getting guys that, you know, haven't won in a while. Brett Quigley, who finished third in yesterday's event, won for the first time earlier this summer. A resurgence this week of Scott McCarron. Jerry Kelly played well for, first round, third round, wasn't too far back after the second round, 72. He winds up finishing T7. I was trading emails with his mom, Lee. You know, we keep waiting for either Jerry Kelly or Miguel Angel Jimenez to win an event this year. I mean, it's been, I don't know the last time that we've seen a season where neither one of those two stalwarts has won an event. Jerry's so close. I think he's basically one round away from maybe breaking through. It could happen. They're off this coming week here, and then the second event's down, and I believe in Boca Raton, Florida, and that'll be the TimberTech Championship, and the top 54 get into that, and those will be the 54 golfers that then will be exempt for next year. Mario Cipriani in the field for that, along with Jerry Kelly. We expect Steve Stricker to be there in the finals. Mario has to get in the top 30 to get there. Jerry Kelly pretty well settled. So it's all ending pretty quickly, but what are your thoughts after the first stop here on the Charles Schwab Cup playoffs?
Yeah, you know, 10 top 10 finishes this year for Jerry. So you're right, he's played very well and very well in stretches. Just hasn't been able to get through and win one. But he had a little bit of lull, I would say, from, you know, sort of after the Senior Open Championship over in Europe, in the UK. I think, I don't know, you know, Jerry's had some little injuries crop up here and there. And, you know, I see he had a string of finishes that we don't associate with his name generally for about four or five starts where he finished T47, he finished T36 in the Ally Challenge and a T17. But then, you know, lately he's been back on his game, you know, T7 at Pure Insurance Championship, tied for fourth at Constellation Furyk'n Friends, and now tied for seventh in the first playoff event. So he is close again. And it's a good time, I guess, to regain his top form going in these last two playoff events.
But so we'll continue to watch that, and I'll be out at the Phoenix Country Club in November. In fact, I'll be there later this week. They have a media day. It's not a playing media day this year, Gary, so I'm not getting to tee it up at Phoenix Country Club. It tells me that maybe they were late with the overseed this year, and they don't want us on it. But Stephen Elker will be there, and I'll try to talk to him about the presence of Steve Stricker this year and how that's kind of changed, you know, compared to what he did last year. You know, he was very dominant a year ago, and you know, Steve didn't, you know, was coming out of the illness, I think it was, and didn't have quite the dominating year he had this year. And now, you know, he's been the guy that is basically, you tell me, before we came on the air, mathematically is clinched. We knew that he almost had clinched it mathematically going into the playoffs. I believe Bernhard Langer had to run the table in order to have a chance with the points doubled. And even with points doubled, I mean, he has clinched this baby. And, I know that he's said that, he plans to show for the finals which a lot of people have told him is the right thing to do. They like to have the tournament, even if he doesn't win in Phoenix, you know, they like to have the tournament champion and the overall champion together. And, you know, with what Schwab has done for, this tour, I think it, it would be a great way to kind of, salute a great winner throughout the season. And, not only that, I think he'll enjoy Phoenix Country Club. It's a little bit like, you know, some of the clubs that we have in, you know, very flat in Wisconsin, you know, like some of the private clubs in Madison. You know, it's basically keeping the fairway, and it's a fairway and green hitting contest. And then it turns into, you know, what I think plays right into Steve's hands. It becomes a putting contest, not a very long course. And, it's right there in front of you. So I'm looking forward to seeing him there. And I hope, he, you know, follows through and commits to the Schwab Cup finals.
Yeah, I'm sure he will, Rob. It probably took only a very little gentle arm twisting to get him to commit, because I think you're right. It is important to have, since he has now clinched the overall Schwab Cup championship, I think it's important for him to be there and to accept the accolades and the trophy and whatever else comes his way, the bonus. It wouldn't look right, I think, if he stayed home for that one. So I'm sure he'll be there, and you'll get to cover that. And, maybe he'll win one more time this year and put a real exclamation mark on his season.
We will see how that goes. You are listening to Talking Dot Golf. We are sponsored by Old Fashioned Golf. Our friends at Old Fashioned Golf, creating Wisconsin-inspired golf apparel right in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All their gear, extremely comfortable, and their one-of-a-kind designs are really funny. You've got the State of Wisconsin welcome sign. You've got the silhouette of the State of Wisconsin. You've got all the components of the license plate of various towels and hats and ball markers and pullovers and polos. So we encourage you to head on over to oldfashionedgolf.com and see what Old Fashioned Golf is and what they have to offer, because it's all about Wisconsin at Old Fashioned Golf. Gary, you had a story that we posted over the weekend about you always seem to find places that are doing something with putters. I think that tells me that putters are the piece of equipment that needs the most creativity, because eventually someone's going to stumble on something where it's can't miss for even guys like you and me. But this time it's Kenosha-based Duck Hook Customs. They're refurbishing old putters. Tell us a little bit about Duck Hook Customs.
Yeah, I met Corey Goldstein, one of the principals of the company, at an outing somewhere this year, Rob. They had a little booth, and they were displaying some of their accessories they make and also the putters that they refurbish. So if you've got a very expensive putter, or even a gamer that you love that's not expensive, but you make putts with it and you love it, and it's nicked up, or, you know how putters get after you use them for a couple of years, Rob, they get a little nicks and scratches. Well, you take your putter to Duck Hook Customs, and Corey and his team refurbish it and make it look like it's brand new. And they also can customize putters and put various finishes and stamping on putters and etching. So it's a really neat little company. They're doing some great things. And if you've got one of those expensive putters that has seen better days, you know, give them a call or look them up on the website. It's a pretty simple process to go through to submit your putter. And they even have loaner putters, because it takes, you know, 2 to 3 weeks to refurbish a putter. So you get a loaner putter, and you get to keep playing golf.
Like taking your car in for body work and you get the loaner car. Yeah. I like that part. That was pretty cool. The problem with me is that the loaner putter might be better than the one I normally have in my bag. I'm staring here in my office. We have this, in our community, we have a kind of a community message board where people put things for sale on it. A woman had a set of golf clubs, and it was a mishmash set of women's clubs, and it included a Odyssey 4-ball putter, and it was all included in the purchase price of $50. And I'm liking it. I bought it for my wife, and she's not listening right now, so I can, you know, it's you know, she's about 5 foot. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. And the putter's made for her. The woman who had it was very short, so I think it was fitted for the lady that we bought it from. And so I'd have to crouch over it like, you know, Andy North at the 85 U.S. Open. But I think that would be, you know, if you put a different, you know, do they do so shafts, grips, and then they clean it up, or do they just, is it just cleaning the current putter? They don't change anything to it.
They clean it. They can eliminate the scratches and little nicks you know, with a milling process and restore it to, like, if you've got a putter that has some sure. paint, maybe in a logo or on the top that's chipped off, they redo that paint and make it look like it's a brand new putter. So even a putter that's 20 years old and is, you know, seen 1,000 rounds and is beat up, they can mm-hmm. restore it to look like, so that it looks almost brand new.
Because it's like the elephant in the room on putters, Gary, is that you use it, you use it, you use it. You don't hit the ball as hard with it. You know, God forbid you would ever, you know, throw it somewhere or injure it. But
yes.
I mean, but you know, I don't think, you know, it's kind of like, you know, our houses, our cars, you know, the wear and tear is not something you see immediately because, you know, on a putter, but yet, you know, we all have putters with nicks in them. We all have putters where, you know, maybe that face, isn't quite as, you know, especially these, you know, these putters like the Odysseys that have that, you know, that inset.
The insert, yeah.
Yeah, the insert where they, you know, it's a, you know, it's a special, you know, substance. It's a different, you know, it's not your traditional, you know, Ping I 2 putter type, you know, surface. And all that stuff has to be, you know, at some point, you know, it runs its course. It needs to be, you know, like what they're doing, refurbished. You don't think about that, but you know, this is something that's, you know, part of the game, I think. And I do you ever stop to think about whether your putter is, you know, where you're striking the ball, whether it's actually making a clean strike?
Yeah, that's a good point, because they do put fresh inserts in putters too. If your insert gets a little dinged up, and you know, if you play, you know, have a putter for 3 or 4 years and you play a couple hundred rounds with it, you're putting it in your golf bag, taking out, it's clinking against irons, and maybe you accidentally scrape it on a cart path or something while you're, you know, putting it back in your bag. So yeah, they do get beat up a little bit. No matter how careful you are taking care of them, after a couple of years, the putter is going to show some wear and tear. So, and I saw the work they do that Corey does in his shop in Kenosha, and it's beautiful. And they also customize putters too, where they can put, you know, he can torch putters with acetylene torch and bring out some of the colors in the metal, that kind of rainbow oily look, you know, that metals can acquire. And he does beautiful work, and, he's been doing this a couple of years. It started as a hobby, and now it's a part-time business. And I think deep down inside, they'd love it to be. There are three partners in this business, and they would love it to become a full-time business.
Well, it is definitely worth reading about, and definitely worth going to their website. The link is in Gary's story, and it's on our site currently, just to the bottom right of the top of our page. And take a peek over there at what they've got going down in Kenosha with Duck Hook Customs. And it's, again, really cool, all these Wisconsin companies that are getting into golf. I think it's also worth noting, too, Gary, that if anybody that has a story idea like this, your email address is, if you hover over Gary's byline and that's in his story, or you hover over my byline and any of my stories, our email address pops up, and we welcome those story ideas. Some, you know, some points in the year we get to them faster than others. This is a good time of year to be throwing those our way, and we enjoy you know, learning about some of these companies that have invested in golf in Wisconsin, because as we've said, you know, there's no shortage of things that can be done to improve the game, and I know a lot of people in Wisconsin are doing that. Gary, before we wrap up talking about golf, I believe when we spoke last, the Marquette men were in the process of competing down at the Dayton Flyer Invitational. They wound up winning that tournament by one shot over Illinois. The final week of really the competitive collegiate season here in Wisconsin, there might be a couple of individuals playing on teams that still are going to, I believe it's the end of this week, where they can play tournaments. Great feather in the cap for Marquette, and a great way to close out the season for the Golden Eagles going into the winter months. What did you make out of their win? And it was a good Illinois team. It didn't have Pearson Hunt, as you wrote about today in Sweet Spot. Pearson was playing in the World Amateur Team Championship and got his first career hole-in-one. So after a tough season, you know, a tough fall with the Illini, he's currently last in stroke average on the team. At least there at in Abu Dhabi, you showed glimmers of the potential we know is in Pearson Hunt.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a great competition to test his game. He didn't play great, Rob. He as you mentioned, he hasn't really had his best stuff in recent months, but I'm not worried about Pearson Hunt, Rob. You know, he's going to come out of this. I'm sure he's probably been, I know he's tinkered with his swing a little bit over the last year, and at some point he's going to, the light switch is going to go off or on, and he's going to start playing like the Pearson we know. He's a tremendous talent, and I think he finished tied for 94th or tied for 96th out of 108 individuals in this World Amateur Team Championship, but it's the best amateurs in the world too. It's there are some very good players. The United States won the team competition with a really solid team. Gordon Sargent and led the way. So yeah, this is going to help Pearson, I think, in his development as a golfer.
The same Gordon Sargent who got an immediate membership on the PGA Tour when he graduates through PGA Tour U because of his performance already this season at Vanderbilt, former teammate of Harrison Ott. And speaking of Harrison Ott, we mentioned that we had three golfers from the state of Wisconsin headed to the second stage of PGA Tour qualifying school, and now a fourth, Zach Burry of Appleton, got through the qualifier at the University of New Mexico golf course in Albuquerque, 70-69, 67-72, a T10 finish. Jordan Hahn, the former Badger, missed by one shot. Had a great final round, 68, but missed the mark by one stroke. T25 finish down in Rockwall, Texas. There's another wave of first stage qualifiers this week, and then they'll start assigning guys to the second stage. But it's kind of exciting to see Zach Burry, who's had some great state open finishes here in Wisconsin, get through to the next stage.
Yeah, and you feel for Jordan Hahn, Rob. It's got to be so tough. You know, you wait all year for a qualifier. I think it costs like $5,000 to enter the PGA Tour qualifying school, and you come one stroke away. And I'm sure you walk away from a tournament like that, just going playing back over your mind 72 holes and where you could have saved one shot. Very painful now that that Jordan's going to have to wait till next year to try to get through Q school again, but a really talented guy. You know, we've covered him and known him for a long time, and you feel for players who, it's a tough, Rob. It's, as we've talked about many times on our podcast, so tough to get to that next level, from whatever level you're at.
Yeah. And I think even tougher this year, because I think you're right. I'm not sure that there's going to be a second chance qualifying like there has been in the past, you know, with the Corn Ferry qualifier in the fall and then the, you know, PGA Tour Latino America and PGA Tour Canada qualifiers in the spring to try to get status on the other developmental tours. Because I think, you know, all this stuff, there's a sliding scale. There might be, I'll have to go back and look. There might be a chance for the PGA Tour Americas. I don't know if they've quite publicized what that process is going to look like with this, you know, conversion of the Corn Ferry Tour Q School back to the PGA Tour. It basically is set up to identify the PGA Tour 30 graduates, and then everybody else goes to the Corn Ferry. But there's, you know, qualifying winners at the first stage get Latino America status, and then I believe winners at the second stage get Corn Ferry Tour status. So, you know, the second stage is big for the four guys going on, and I know Jordan Hahn has relocated to the Phoenix area. And I heard recently that, you know, his sister Mackenzie and Emily Lauterbach will be basing themselves here this winter as well. So I think there'll be a lot of good friendly competition between each other. And I think the neat thing about the people that we've encountered in the mini tour ranks, there's a great deal of patience involved. And there seems to be that with these guys. So we'll hope for the best for Jordan Hahn. Gary, I know that the tee time is calling. Anything else you want to tease for the rest of the week, or I think at this point you need to get your game face on, because I heard Mike Davis is coming for you, because he feels he let one go last week to you at Blue Mound.
He'll probably cry. It'll probably be 10-8 today, Rob. I'm sure I'm due for a whipping. So we'll see, though. It'll be fun. I always like playing. Love playing Blue Mound, and it's always fun competing against Mike. So we'll have a good time today.
Well, we'll let Gary get going to Blue Mound, and we will talk golf again next week. Gary, appreciate the time.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Gary D'Amato. I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf, and we are sponsored by Old Fashioned Golf. Our friends at Old Fashioned Golf are creating Wisconsin-inspired golf apparel right in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All of their gear is extremely comfortable with one-of-a-kind designs that allow you to show your love for this great state both on and off the golf course. And take it from me, Rob Hernandez, and Gary D'Amato, when we wear our old-fashioned golf polos on the golf course or out to dinner, No one has to ask us where we're from or where we like to play our golf. It's all about Wisconsin at Old Fashioned Golf. So check them out at oldfashionedgolf.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.